You're listening to Drake in the Morning
with Danny, Wes, and Sid
on 98.1 The Max. Live from Rock and Roll Ground Zero, you're listening to Drake in the Morning
with Danny, Wes, and Sid
on 98.1 The Max.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Oh, that's stupid.
That's just as stupid as anything I ever heard of.
Well, that was stupid.
Why is everyone so fucking stupid?
It's just stupid, all right?
In the payday, getting high fee. Stupid, dumb, and high fee.
You blistering idiot!
I'm so stupid. Da, da, da.
Don't you have any brains?
Dumb as a bag of Mississippi mud.
That's the stupidest damn thing I've ever heard of in all my life.
Moron, 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 moron.
Yeah, every day, same time. It's Tuesday, March 8th. The year is 2016, still as far as I can tell. The big time change happens this weekend, daylight savings time. We spring forward roughly an hour, and that means it'll be light later and light earlier, I guess, too, right? I don't know. But it'll be nice outside and highs of 80 forecast for next week after we get through the days of rain that are coming our way tonight and tomorrow, and mainly tomorrow night. So stand by for that. Inches of rain are forecast for Arkansas and then many parts of this area too. So good luck out there. Be safe and have a good day as best you can. Coming up, Kyle Veazey from the mayor's office to discuss the issues of the day in the city business. And we will see him shortly. But first, let's visit with the people that make life more interesting. This headline says, group of friends kill Powell in cult ceremony to turn him into a vampire. What world do these people live in? Police have locked up three people. They're all, two were 18, one 25, accused of killing a friend of theirs. They were trying to turn into a vampire during a ceremony at a cyber cafe called Freak Shop. How appropriate. This fellow, 24, Edwin Juarez Palma, died after being strangled, beaten, and slashed in the neck with a broken bottle. He was tortured first. They tried to, the whole concept was to have him sacrificed and kill him, and they assumed he would come back to life as a vampire. Well, didn't work out too good. Police were called last Tuesday when his body was found abandoned in the street, wrapped inside two plastic bags. There was blood inside this cafe where it all went down, and there's really no reason being given here for why they thought this was a good idea. They just cut the guy to pieces. He bled out and did not magically return as a vampire. He was placed in two plastic bags and left in the street.
Did you give us ages on any of these people?
18, 18, 25.
Well,
so you should probably know better that this stuff isn't real.
You'd think.
But yeah. The vampire craze has really been around for what now? About 10 years, heavy duty, 15, 20, I don't know. But these kids thought that it was a real deal. But this guy here is not going to come back as a vampire because he's in pieces in bags.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, it's rough.
Well, he probably would have eaten them anyway had he worked out. And let's see, Newquay, England, Matthew Brinson has an Audi, cost about $70,000. Some of the locals saw him getting into this sports car and got pissed off about it, started smashing the windshield, giving him death threats, all because a few minutes before he got into this car, Matthew was panhandling on the street, just asking for
money.
One
of these guys, yeah.
Turns out also he's a heroin addict with mental health problems.
Who wouldn't?
So the death threats didn't present an immediate risk to his safety. But $70,000 car and panhandling, that's why I tend to not give.
It happens all the time. It is a full-time living for a number of people.
At 385 and I guess it's Winchester. The guy has had throat cancer now for 6 years. And
how do you know his sign says so?
His sign says there. He's got one of those fake trachs. And
seriously,
yes,
a fake trach.
And I saw his, cell phone. He's got hidden under his milk carton.
Yeah.
Every time I go by, I'm like, "Your phone's right there. Your phone. Get your phone."
Oh my gosh.
And then that's the same place I saw the girl take the green balloon and put it under her shirt.
Wouldn't you want to change location from time to time to get some new people to feel sorry for you, for your lion ass?
There's probably a union they have to deal with.
Yeah, there's that too, sure.
Highway 290, it's near Huffmeister, Texas, right out of Houston. It was shut down for more than 2 hours yesterday. There was a crash involving three vehicles and a semi-truck. So the cleanup included an unnamed woman who caused the crash by stripping off her clothes, and she just wandered into traffic.
And the video is really disgusting.
The woman jumped on top of the semi and began twerking and gyrating for passing vehicles. Yeah. You go, girl.
Yeah, she was getting it, too.
Firefighters, police officers, they finally got on top of the big rig, wrestled her down, put her in handcuffs, took her to a mental hospital for evaluation. And it was not me.
Yeah. My wife said, where's Danny? Because this news story was on, and she went, okay, where's Bruns? So, no, this is in Texas. So she's clear. Oh, man. But it was this girl just lost her mind. It was on this truck just... Oh, man.
In the middle of the highway. That's something I'd like to see.
In the middle part of the day, she just flipped out. It happens more and more all the time.
You never know what's going to make someone snap.
This one, this is just mean and ugly. This girl is a junior in high school in Greene County, Georgia. She is suing her history teacher who called her, and she taped all of this for some reason, which is kind of odd, I think. He called her the dumbest student he has ever taught. She taped the insult. He said to her, you know, you're the dumbest girl I've ever met in my life. And I've been around 37 years, and clearly you are the dumbest girl I've ever met. Your purpose in life is going to be to have sex and have kids because you ain't ever gonna be smart like me, and my grammar ain't gonna ever be smart. 37 years old and has all the answers, and insulted her like that. He became angry after he had asked her to name somebody he was talking about and she wasn't paying attention. So he dogged her like that, which is inappropriate on any level for any reason. And now she and her family are suing the school, and she has it all on tape. Oh, my, my, my. So today, best of luck in the world. It gets harder all the time to not be dumb, but give it your best shot.
It proves to me, though, that she egged him on for her to have it ready to record.
Seems like it. That she kind of baited him and waited for him to wig, and he did. Kyle Vesey coming up today is another election day in this country, in Mississippi, in Michigan, in Idaho. And there are stories about this today and how this could, well, not really change things, but kind of shed some new light on possibilities. Today, there are winds forecast for Trump in Mississippi and Idaho, with Ted Cruz a possibility in Hawaii. John Kasich is polling strongly in Michigan. And so how well Trump does in Michigan, the story says from the Washington Post, will say a lot about his staying power in the race. There are those pundits and observers that think that maybe he's peaked, and that is that this act is wearing thin, but maybe that will not be the case. Hillary and Bernie were in Michigan yesterday doing their last-ditch efforts to win your vote, and more people from various places are looking at John Kasich's possible route to the nomination. Which is possible, maybe unlikely, but nonetheless, he seems to be gaining some ground. Mr. Rubio seems to be an afterthought and should probably go back home and play with his toys. So he may bail after today because his name is mentioned here once. His odds to have dropped considerably. Trump is polling heavily in Michigan, but nobody knows yet. Trump, I guess, was down there yesterday in that state. I don't know where he was, though. Was he in Jackson maybe yesterday? I didn't see where he was because they're moving pretty fast. And he talked to the Clarion Ledger about his ideas for the economy and his, quote, tremendous relationship with black voters who all love him.
Well, okay.
It's that part of the act that's getting really tiresome. And Saturday Night Live and other places like that are calling him out, man, and beating this guy to death.
racist for Trump. That God. Video is hysterical.
It is hysterical, and it seems to be, well, kind of accurate. Maybe he's not, but these acts have all been on display now for well over a year, and nobody ever dreamed that at this point, March 8, 2016, that he would still be a viable candidate and be in the lead. It doesn't make any sense still, and it may come to pass that he has peaked, or maybe not. It all remains to be seen.
He was in Madison, Mississippi.
Madison. Where the hell is that?
I don't know.
I didn't know there was one.
Why, suburb of Jackson, maybe?
Why do you choose that teeny place to go when you could have come to South Haven and been kind of almost in Memphis?
And shop at the Tangerine Outlet.
Sure, I know. He could have got some new stuff for his hair and whatnot.
He could have bought the Tangerine.
But, yeah, other things going on include Aaron Andrews, the former ESPN sportscaster. I never had much use for her as a broadcaster, but she's well known. She went to Fox and got a lot more money, and she is used, though, kind of sparingly. She wasn't really out there much last year, but she has made a bunch of money on endorsement deals, and now she has even more money. $55 million in the nude video lawsuit. This perv taped her naked in two different locations in the hotels that she was staying in, one in Nashville, one in Columbus, Ohio. It's a pretty tacky thing, and she will get a bunch of money, and I guess it's being paid for by the hotel chain and partly by this guy. Or no, it's two hotel companies. They will share the rest. But how is this guy who's the stalker going to pay half of this money? He ain't got no money.
That's not going to happen.
So I don't know how they work that out. But there will be appeals and endless nonsense about this as each day goes by. This is another very strange story. The Eagles lost Glenn Frey a couple of months back. A real blow to those that were raised on that band, and it was the soundtrack of the lives of many people. All their music going back to Take It Easy and Hotel California and One of These Nights and all these records for the past 40 years. And then Glenn Frey died, which was a shock to many folks, and that band is probably done. Randy Meisner was in that band from the inception. He has been ill and out of the band for at least about 20 years now, and was really kind of went off the reservation, as they say. He has had issues, alcoholism, and he is briefly in that History of the Eagles film, and he looks awful and like he has not been very good to himself. Well, over the weekend, he lives out in L.A. with his wife, Lana Rae Meisner. And she called 911 reporting that he had a BB gun and was acting erratically and threatening her and so on and so forth. So police go to the house, and it is deemed to be okay. Everything's cool. They just had some issues. About an hour and a half later, Meisner called 911 again to say that the wife had been shot. He claims that she went into a room and closed the door. He heard a gunshot and walked in to find her shot in the head with her head pretty much blown off. It's being called a freak accident. Okay. It says that she was reaching in the closet for something else when a gun discharged by accident. Doesn't this seem extremely sketchy? The only thing here that saves this is that there are video cameras all over this house, and this was apparently caught on film. So there's more to this than meets the eye. But all the sources say that there was no struggle, there was no fight, that she was addled, and that he was even more messed up on something and was hospitalized on Monday at 4:45 in the morning because he was acting in an altered state. So it's been some tough times for the Eagles, past and present, and that's a very ugly story.
And I'm wondering if anybody came out, the authorities, after she called 911 reporting her husband.
Yeah.
If this does go into weirdness and see if someone's guilty or not, that's going to come out and not be good if they didn't show up.
Well, they came by, and it was all deemed to be okay. That's why when he called back an hour and a half and said, She just blew her brains out. Would y'all come back over, please? Mm-hmm. And it just reeks of something a little bit unusual. So that is one more sad commentary on the weirdness of life. But this guy has had his ups and downs. Everybody has, but good Lord. Red Door Wealth Management, my good friends over there, Fred and John and Gretchen and Daniel, I see them and talk to them regularly because we're all trying to save money. At some point, you'll want to retire, and having a 401k or an IRA, it's never too early to begin this process. If you're 20 or 50, you need to be putting some money back and let these guys consult you and guide you through this process. It can be very intimidating to discuss money and to give money away, but it's being put in a good place to be saved for you when you need it the most. As you get older and need something, it'll be there. If you'll stop by, they will give you a free consultation, or go to the website to see the short video, reddoorwealth.com. It explains who they are and what they do. They are very normal people. Not a bunch of uppity, elite money guys. They're just down-to-earth, normal folks who will give you good advice and lead you in the right direction. Stop by and visit with them. Call Fred if you'd like to at 681-0018 or email him, fred@reddoorwealth.com. He's always there for me and has been for several years now, and I thank them for their help, and they will take care of your needs as well. Red Door is where to get a hold of Fred and find out more about what they can offer you. Saving money is cool. It's a security blanket, see. But you know, if you wait till you're too old and you're broke, well, we tried to warn you. So good
it
luck.
Will happen.
It's going to happen. There's no question about that. Kyle Veazey is going to happen, too. He will be appearing here on this program to discuss the issues of the city's issues from the mayor's office. All of that with Mr. Veazey in just a few minutes.
You're listening to Drake in the Morning. Woo! On 98.1 The Max.
It's a very nice morning out so far, Tuesday, the 8th of March. Today's high is about 75, same tomorrow. As the rain rolls up here from the Gulf Coast and Texas to impact us sometime, most especially tomorrow night into the weekend. So inches of rain are forecast, so stand by to have your lawn watered. Kyle Veazey is the Deputy Communications Director for Mayor Jim Strickland. It has been since, the first part of the year, which seems like a long time ago.
Seems like 4 years ago.
Good to see you. I am disappointed today that you're not wearing a pocket square. I had such faith, and now I'm let down.
Well, you know, after that happened last week, I ran into to Shay Flynn, friend of the show.
Yes.
And he gave me a little bit of, he might have made a snide remark, and it hurt my feelings.
Shay would have?
It hurt my feelings.
Huh.
And so
what kind of remark did he make? Because he doesn't wear his bucket square in here. He wears a...
Oh, and he doesn't even bother to wear a tie.
No.
Which I think is very important and very non-professional.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just call it like it is.
Well, yeah. Well, some of these things are really important. But you have on a very nice suit.
Well, thank you.
And your tie is knotted perfectly.
And a lapel pin.
Very, very nice.
Much like you.
Yes. I wear a suit and tie here every day and have for almost 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm more comfortable that way, and I feel like I'm at work and I'm employed and being a pro. So that's how I roll.
And Memphis appreciates that.
I know they do.
Yeah.
So where do we start?
nothing happened in the past week at all, so it's been good visiting with you. Have a good day.
I didn't really read Jim's piece on Friday, his commentary to the masses about what's going on. But the lead story, well, there are two today. Let's just start with the one that isn't irritating. Redbirds have been sold.
Yep.
Now, about 2 years ago, the St. Louis Cardinals, who are their parent team in the big leagues, kind of came in here and took over the process, and the ballpark was redone. It is a gorgeous ballpark, still always has been. But they were a lot more hands-on in management and all of that, because that team does provide them with young players and has for a long time and is a pretty big deal. So the Cardinals have sold a major interest, or a biggest interest in this baseball team, to a guy from New York. Mm-hmm. How did all this come about? Was it a surprise to the mayor who met with this guy, I guess, yesterday? Why did this go down, do you think?
Yeah, I think it was a surprise to a lot of people that the Cardinals had interest in selling. And I think if Bill DeWitt, the owner of the Cardinals, said something like, we weren't shopping the team, but, you know, the guy came to us, et cetera, et cetera. The mayor got a call about it, you know, a heads up on it middle of last week, I guess. And the guys met with him today or yesterday. I think the thing that you take away from it is, first off, I spent some time with the guy yesterday. Seems like a fine guy, you know, the new owner.
But a guy from New York buying a baseball team in Memphis?
Well, he also, I think, owns or has majority interest in a minor league team in Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay.
So it's not his first baseball team. The upshot here is this. We have a contract. When I say we, I mean the city has a contract with an entity called Memphis Redbirds LLC through 2030. And 2030 sounds like, you know, the planet may explode by then. Let's just be quite honest.
Yeah, we're hoping.
But if it doesn't, they'll be playing baseball at Third and Union until at least 2030, maybe 2040, with two different extensions on the contract. My point in saying that is the new owner is just buying the majority interest, pending approval by the Pacific Coast League, is just buying the majority interest in that entity. So our contract doesn't change. And I know that's sort of the thing that a lot of people, especially in our city, you know how it is. We have this sort of fear and this fatalistic thought that someone's going to move our team, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, the contract is what it is, and it's not going to change. And it's a good contract. I mean, we have it for another 14 years.
And the average fan will not notice any big change.
Probably
the story
not,
goes on.
No.
So,
the thing that Craig Unger, the point that he made in our meeting yesterday and also in the paper, which I didn't really think about, and it's a good one, is that now it's going to be back to a local Memphis business. I mean, it was the Memphis arm of the St. Louis Cardinals. And as a lifelong Cardinals fan, I was fine with that.
But this
is probably maybe economically better.
But this guy lives in New York, so how can it be a hands-on Memphis business?
I suspect he will be, it'll be a Memphis small business in that it'll have its own HR department, or it'll have its own, you know, some of these functions that were in St. Louis will essentially be here. Now, I'm not saying that's going to rejuvenate the Memphis economy. I'm just saying on a small part, that's cool.
But it's kind of odd that the Cardinals would relinquish such control over this important part of their farm system.
Yeah, and they'll continue to be affiliated with, I mean, the Redbirds will still be the AAA farm team of the Cardinals. I think if you look back at minor league baseball, typically the parent clubs don't own the minor league clubs. It's only been a trend in the past 10 or 20 years where the parent clubs find we all love this buzzword, efficiencies, in going and buying their minor league team.
Yeah.
The Cardinals own their single-A team in West Palm and also Springfield, their double-A team. And so they went down that road, but I think you're seeing some of the teams kind of pull back from that.
Mm.
Typically, the model of minor league ownership is a local owner or an entity who owns it from out of town, as this would probably be, and they have an agreement with a team to send their players there. Now, remember, in this deal, the Cardinals will still be the minority owner.
Yeah.
So it's not like the Cardinals have packed up and left town.
But they can still pick and choose who they bring up or send down.
No
and
difference.
That is still at their...
Regardless of who owns the team, that, you know, the ownership and the actual affiliation with the major league club are two different things.
Yeah.
It's just that in Memphis for the past 2 years, they've been the same thing.
So no big changes from the outside looking in for the average person, really just a business deal that has changed that dynamic, but nothing else really changes.
From what we can tell. I mean, from our end of it, as now the city is the landlord down there.
Yeah.
As you remember from 2.5 years ago when the story blew up. We have a lease agreement with Memphis Redbirds LLC through 2030 that could go to 2040, and that's pretty good.
Well, okay, so that one has been explained. Kyle Veazey is our guest. The endless story of the park, Overton Park and the zoo continues.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that story.
Last week, Richard Smith, the son of Fred and them, went on television, and we heard various stories from the inside, off the record and such, that it was suggested strongly from those who have given the zoo lots of money over the years that this deal needed to be wrapped up, a solution found. It was getting ridiculous, just to put it in street terms. It was, I mean, enough already. Mm. Well, that hasn't been done. And today we're going to have some more mediation. What are we mediating here? The council has voted not to use the grassy area near Rainbow Lake for overflow parking. But there are inconsistencies in the resolution that raise a number of practical and legal questions. Why does this go on and on like this? It's a piece of grass.
Where do we start?
I don't know.
So
lawyers?
Last week we were here and we knew it would come up, and the council made the decision to basically say, you know, we have authority over parkland and therefore we're going to draw this line, and zoo has control over this area, OPC has control over these areas, et cetera, et cetera. It was not a 7-6 vote. It was 11-1 with one absent.
Right.
So it was a pretty overwhelming vote.
A resounding.
That said, the mayor in, I don't know, early January when this first, remember that when this first came to a head, like this current iteration was when the trees were removed.
Yes.
The 26 or 27 trees.
That was kind of a tacky move.
So the mayor brought everybody in and said, we're going to have mediation. And that was sort of the first action. There have been other actions that have, as the mayor wrote Friday, have maybe changed the playing field a little. The council action being one of them, the legal action being another. That said, what the mayor proposed in January, which was this professional mediation, people come into a room, they have trained mediators to say, here are all the issues, let's figure it out over a course of time.
Yes, quickly.
Is continuing.
Better than,
and it happens today, starting at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And so all the parties continue to be at the table over every issue at Overton Park. There are so many parking and use issues at Overton Park. Greensward is the one that has sort of been the mascot, that's sort of been the one that's gotten the ink. If you go to Overton Park on a Saturday or a Sunday and you try to find a parking spot, for instance, that has nothing to do with the zoo, it's still tough. There's there's use issues in terms of, you know, I could go on and on, but there's a city-owned lot on the east side. There's a fire. I mean, all these things that are going on there that are essentially being discussed at mediation that the mayor proposed, and that's the one constant that has kept going on through all
this.
So
will they sit there until they reach a solution? If it's this time next week, sit your asses in there and get this done. There's other stuff to worry about.
This won't be, you know, this won't be something decided in a week. Mediation is meant to take time because it's meant to be deliberative and it's meant to be thorough and exhaustive.
So after what seemed to be kind of a closed door, this thing was going to be solved. Let's move along. There are other things to worry about. It has now been reopened to mediation that may linger in our lives for weeks to come.
Well, again, I mean, the council did what it did Tuesday, but what the mayor has proposed has remained a constant for 2 months. It's
so
been
why,
mediation.
So why can't the council and the mayor carry the weight on this and be done with it?
I think that's what the mayor is doing.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, remember what the mayor said.
Who's pushing back?
Who's pushing back against?
What the mayor and the council said, let's just do this, let's figure this out. Here's the
answer. I don't know that anyone fundamentally is, because all the parties are at the table.
How many are there? 10, 20, 2, 3?
Well,
and their attorneys and their consultants and advisors?
Zoo and Overton Park Conservancy.
Okay, so those two are the big, that's where the big boxing match is. Okay, so we expect no answer.
When you say there's parking issues in the park, do you mean that there's a lack of parking for the park as well?
Yeah, I mean, there are all sorts of parking issues at the park in terms of, when I mean uses beyond just the zoo. If you want to park and enjoy the dog park. You know, I think we've all talked about this before. I live in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Despite what I look like, I do ride my bike every so often. And when I do ride my bike into Overton Park and into the Old Forest, like you're dodging cars because they're like slammed up against each other. And it's like a one-way street to go to the playground, the Rainbow Lake, all that stuff.
Well, couldn't they make that grassy area parking for both? Could we share it and be friends?
The Greensward? That would probably be massively objected to by the folks who were trying to protect the Greensward.
We could all be homies though, and be peace and love and all that. But there's somebody that's going to always bitch. Well, it's part of the life that we live here in this fine town. Well, Kyle Vesey is here discussing I don't know what anymore.
I think this whole issue boils down to you have people who are, and I've thought a lot about this, especially in the past week that it's been so raw. You know, you have people who are very concerned about the Greensward, that one area.
Explain what that means to those that do not understand what Greensward is. It's an area of grass.
It's a meadow. It's a big open grassy area that, for anyone who's ever casually been to Overton Park, if you park in the zoo lot, it's to your right. If you're at the Doughboy statue looking down to Rainbow Lake, it's that area. It's that big, just sort of open area. There are other open areas in Overton Park, but they have golf holes on them.
Yes.
This is like the one that doesn't.
Right.
And so you have people who use the Greensward, who maybe live in the neighborhood, who enjoy taking their dog there, or the Frisbee or the rugby, whatever you're doing. And then I think you also have people who view the issue as a proxy for the way they want urbanist issues and livability issues decided in our city moving forward.
That's well said.
And that goes into things like bike lanes and walkability and pedestrian safety and mass transit. I mean, you can really cast a wide net there.
Yes,
right?
You can.
And I think that's where a lot of the anger was.
Yes. I mean, there's that, and it kind of seems to all go back to the Coliseum and things like that. Just the preservation of the way it's always been, which may not always be the smartest move for the future of the city and its growth, but people cling to these things with all their might and will not let go. So that's where we are at 9 this morning to mediate and negotiate.
And it'll be closed, and sorry, you won't get a progress.
Are you going?
At the end of the day, I will not be going.
Why not?
I probably couldn't get in the room. It's very, like, it's pretty hardcore. They have lawyers and stuff, man.
Mm.
I ain't got no law degree.
Well, everybody else seems to. So... other things include here in bold type from Jim's issuance of Friday, a big step for Meta. What was the big step? Did somebody write a check?
that would be a huge step. We'd like that step. Meta has this thing called the Short Range Transit Plan, which has kind of been around for a little while, and it is intended to streamline the system and change some routes and straighten out some routes and add some express routes. You know, studies, someone came in and studied it and said, this is probably a good idea.
Yeah.
And what they decided to do with the mayor, you know, in the same room was, let's go ahead and execute this. Let's not necessarily just talk about it. Let's move forward with it.
And find the money later?
Well, if you read the email, in fact, I'm trying to find the exact phrase here, all without significantly increasing operating costs.
Uh-huh.
How about that?
Rather vague.
Well, I mean, yeah, it is. And I would have to defer.
It ain't gonna
to
be free.
I would have to defer to Matt's board to know exactly what the final pennies are on that.
Yeah,
but
it was about 12 mil, wasn't it, or was it 30?
Well, that's what they want. What President Garrison came to the council said he wanted another $7 million, or else major cuts would have to happen. That they have $23 million from the city right now and wanted to get to 30, and again, the city is not the only funding agency for Matt.
Right,
that was what that issue was.
Okay. And Jim also explains here about the finance issue, and it has been explained or tried to be explained. There is more than one budget that this city operates from. There are several different pots of money from which we choose and pay for things and this, that, and the other. So he's trying to explain that the monies for these, for the body cams and for the new radios, all of that stuff, $60 million, and it is a big one, but they have to get this done in 3 years, he says, and so now they have to begin. April is about 3 weeks away. that begins the process of discussion of how to get the funds, how to dispense and disperse them. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a fun time, I'm guessing, for him and the council.
I think it'll be a joy. It starts April 19th. The point of the financial issue that the mayor addressed last week, just think about, it's not this upcoming budget. The $60 million for these radios
is spread out.
It's an estimate, but that's right. It's a pretty close estimate. Spread out over 3 years.
Right.
And for the reason, I don't know, I think it has to do with what's purchased what year. It's 10, 25, and 25. So think about those 2 years in which $25 million of our capital budget, which is the budget we issue debt to pay on, it's like your mortgage, $25 million will go to the radios. We try to cap that at $70 million every year. So you're entering a $25 million entry into the capital budget that you don't really have much of a choice about.
Right.
But if you don't do it, our radios are becoming very, not degrees of obsolete.
Is it a mandate that they have to... This has to be done.
The
right?
radios yeah. will no longer be serviced
right.
as of the end of 2018, and there are some other industry regulations about once you upgrade that you have to upgrade to the certain certain specs. That
the questions arise though as to why they are so expensive.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of them. I mean, you're talking about these aren't just police radios, and it's not just you know the police what they have on their
right.
on their body.
Right.
Essentially every. There's probably two for every police officer because you have one on the body, one in the car.
Right.
Fire, public works. You know, you think of the other city divisions that use them. Public works uses them.
Yeah, it's a bunch of radios.
Sanitation. I mean, yeah, that kind yeah. of stuff.
So this issue goes on and on and on.
Find body cams that have radios in them.
Wow.
She's always thinking. That'd be just.
Wow.
That'd be so. Where
you're
so,
hired.
So where is the body cam issue?
The body cam issue is, I'm trying to think what was last proposed to council was the process and the fee schedule for public records, because there will be a ton of records requests that will come from it. And so we had to get an ordinance or a resolution or I forget which to set that out. The rollout, there's no update necessarily on the rollout since the last time we talked, and that was going to be like one shift at Crump Station.
Yeah. So that's still on the list of... places to start
yeah.
at Crump.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, what have we missed? Anything? It
oh,
seems
gosh.
To be the, I mean, these issues are the ones that continue to be in the news and on your desk and on Jim's desk, and they'll get resolved at some point, we assume, but it's nothing happens overnight in this industry.
No, and I think that's the hard part to digest about this Greensward thing in particular is, you know, they're going to meet in mediation today, and I'm sure it'll be the first of many meetings that will take place over many weeks. This is, we're so used to, especially in government, going downstairs and
knocking it out
in an hour. Even if you have a hard debate, you know, you're in and out in an hour and you have a vote on something. This process is intended to be
right.
deliberative. That's the whole point of it. You don't want to just arrive at a conclusion in a quick amount of time.
Whose feelings are we afraid of hurting here? The Midtownites that want to protect this area of grass and have room
that
to play
home.
Frisbee?
Midtownites, that hits home, man.
Yeah, I used to live there too, but I got over it. but I just don't understand the just the hand-wringing and the gnashing of teeth over an area that... I mean, it just seems to be there could be some kind of a happy medium here, some room for parking, and yet create some more room to walk your dog and play with your frisbee and stuff.
That's why
it just seems to be a relatively. I mean, this seems to be fixable.
That's why you,
if somebody would give in.
That's why you have a process that we refer to as mediation. To
it
arrive at
like
something
a,
like that,
it seems like a lot of money to pay lawyers and. For a lot of talking in circles.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it probably is. But if you don't engage in it, then you continue to have this whole thing fester
forever. You don't
want to
be perceived as a bully, I guess, your third month in office or whatever the case may be, if you're the mayor. So
nah.
We mediate.
We
and
mediate.
We talk and we have lunch and bring in sandwiches and talk and stuff.
I hope there's soup with the sandwiches.
That'd be very nice.
Or everybody could just get a backyard.
A backyard. Well, there's that too. Buy a house with a friggin' yard and shut up. It isn't that easy, though. And I'm just kidding, but it does seem to be. There are many, many things on the priority list, I'm sure, for Jim Strickland. And this one is maybe an ongoing thorn in the side of the mayor, but every city has these issues, right?
Well, I suppose they do. I'm trying to think of a comparable one. I can't find it.
This one time in Columbus, Ohio.
The priority list continues to begin in all caps, bold, underline, italics, crime.
Yeah.
And with what we've seen, it was another bad weekend.
It was. I mean, it's really rough.
I volunteered that. Representing the mayor, we want to address that. We don't want that to just.
It's ugly.
We want to say this is absolutely unacceptable.
What the heck do you do? I mean,
well, homicide.
You're short 400 officers. The PSTs are coming.
Yeah.
Yesterday on the way home, I saw four or five people stopped on 240. So they're out there writing tickets to make money. That's all understood. But we are short officers. The crime gets worse. The gang issues, the ridiculous shootings and stabbings and fights in parking lots at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's how the hell do you get a grip on this?
Well, the homicide issue, for one, it's as people who know policing will tell you, it's the hardest thing to predict. I mean, you can try with all your might, and it's just not something that you can at least in a way that's measurable. Probably you can't necessarily rearrange staffing and homicide levels go down huge.
Right.
That's hard to do.
Yeah, sure.
And that's what's so frustrating about it. And that's what, but that does not mean, Drake, that we shake our heads and go about our day.
I know.
I mean, you can't, when 44 people in our city have lost their lives this year.
It's remarkable.
It has to consume.
It's the 8th of March.
It's the 8th of March, and it has to consume, all of your energy. I know the mayor talks about it and thinks about it all the time and talks to Director Rawlings all the time. And Director Rawlings.
Must be a very frustrating conversation they have.
Sure. I'm sure it is.
Well, give our best to Mayor Jim and to Ursula and to all the folks that try to make this city function properly. The list of priorities seems to grow every day, and it goes from crime to a piece of grass, and all of them are important to somebody. So,
one thing I've learned very quickly in 68 days of doing this is, and you know this going in, but until you actually experience it, just how much of a frying pan City Hall is.
I mean,
because it is just one thing popping, and when you're, that's the biggest thing in the world, and it is a big deal, and you address it, and you put a lot of energy at it, and you go to bed, and you wake up the next day, and there's another thing that's just as big, and just as much of a crisis, and has eight figures behind it, and you're like, how in the world?
That's why many of us watch these people who want to be in the mayor's seat or the president's seat, and you wonder, once they get there, do they go, wow, what in the world have I done? I don't understand. I mean, if you can help things and change things and affect policy and make the world a better place, that's great. But boy, getting to that peak is a real tough climb.
And the weird thing is, I don't sense what I just said. I don't ever sense that from the mayor.
No, I think that he gives off a very, he doesn't seem tense or worried about anything. I'm sure that behind the scenes, things might be different, but as long as he has a calm demeanor and approach, nobody will panic. I guess.
Well, I mean, there are times that I've, been in the room with him and you sense like, weariness or whatever, but very little. In fact, I would imagine most people on that floor get their energy from the mayor opposed to vice versa.
He does set the tone for the whole outfit.
Yeah.
There's no questioning that. On a different note, this just popped up down in Florida because today is the primary in Mississippi, Michigan, Idaho. The editorial board for the South Florida Sun-Sentinel is refusing to endorse any GOP candidate for the race next Tuesday because, quote, the kind of person who should be running is not in the race. That's pretty bold. The board, which previously had backed Jeb Bush and Ms. Clinton, notes that, quote, John Kasich is the best of the bunch but has no chance of winning. Donald Trump does have a chance of winning, but lacks the experience and temperament to be president. And given his smug, erratic, often petulant demeanor, do you really trust him with the keys to our nuclear arsenal? That leaves Cruz and Rubio, which they also refuse to endorse.
I saw that.
We live in strange times, as we pointed out via text last week. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting world, and it's getting weirder all the time.
Did you watch the Republican debate Thursday?
Last Thursday?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was when we were texting. Yeah. Right. I was thinking the other one.
But the past two nights, I'm usually inclined to watch these things just for the entertainment, and but I have passed. I just don't. It's the same thing every time. Why bother?
So I watched the Democratic debate, and then when it was over, they played their hour documentary about the 1960 Kennedy-Nixon race.
Oh, man.
And if there's a way that anybody, if you can go back and find that, or if they play that overnight,
that's
DVR that. Yeah. It was really, really, really good.
That's a real education in the system and how it works. And, it's that. Those were strange times, too, though.
Yeah.
55 years ago.
It is interesting. You look back on races like that, and in hindsight, you look at them and you say, that's when statesmen were statesmen and all politics was above board and everybody agreed to disagree. Not really.
I mean,
it was pretty dirty, too. Now, it wasn't on this level. But some of the things that were going on then,
we can get into this and talk about Sam Giancana and Illinois and how JFK won that, and that's a deep story as well. But I guess maybe they all are when you get right down to it. Thank you.
Yep.
Have a good week. Good luck today. It's only Tuesday, so it could get even deeper as the week goes on. Thank you, Kyle Veazey from the mayor's office. We'll see you again next week. If your car is jacked up, Allen's Automotive, he's our guy, the Napa know-how man. Down there in Whitehaven, Allen is a longtime friend, and he's been taking care of my cars for me and my family for a long, long time. He is a very trustworthy man. That's one of his great qualities. He's not going to price gouge you and jack you up and lie to you and charge you too much money for things that need to be done on your car. Brake work, tires, alignments, you name it, they bring it in there and give you the estimate. And then get it done, and you're back on the road, and you're not broke. They also can finance it with the Napa Know How card. Allen is on Facebook as well, so go by and visit with him on Winfield off Elvis Presley Boulevard, down there in the Whitehaven. 332-3279 is his phone number. We'll come back in a moment after this little break.
This is not your show for breaking news. It's your show for the stories that matter and interviews with the people that make Memphis, Memphis. This is Drake in the Morning on 98.1 The Max.